Let's do this. Episode number one.
Welcome to the Innovateology podcast, where it is all about unleashing the creative side to find those brilliant, disruptive ideas to validate and build innovative solutions to solve life's problems.
So welcome to today's podcast, where our goal is to introduce you to Innovateology concept. This podcast is going to be a little different in what we're doing. It's mostly an introduction. All of our other podcasts will be formatted differently and will be more of an interview type. So before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about the Innovateology platform and do a little formal introduction of myself and then the others that will be joining me today on this podcast. Then we'll be answering two questions and some key actions to learn from. What is the Innovateology concept, and giving an example of innovating in your life to solve a problem. So just a little introduction on the Innovateology podcast. So we're all born to be innovators and creative thinkers. If you go back to the days of childhood, we all made up our day with imaginary play and asked outlandish questions. We drew scribbles on paper and called them dinosaurs or spaceships. But then as we went about our life, a process that was predefined, such as entering school and learning how to read from textbooks and spitting out reports, we started to lose this confidence around our creativity and problem solving. Thanks to socialization and formal education, many of us started to suppress our innovative impulses. We learned to be more cautious with our judgment and more analytical. We started to be classified into creatives and non-creatives. And too many people, consciously or unconsciously, tell themselves every day, we're either not creative enough or good enough at problem solving. So let me give you an example. I asked a group of five-year-olds the other day, raise your hand if you're a good painter or artist. Believe it or not, about 95% of the kids raised their hand and said, I'm a good artist. Now, I did the same thing with a corporate group of adults. I said, raise your hand if you're a good painter or artist. Believe it or not, only one person raised their hand and had the confidence to do so. How is it that we lost this creative confidence to stand up and say, yes, I'm a creative thinker and I enjoy painting? We need these creative thinkers in our life. We need it in our life in just in general. And we need somebody to raise their hand to say, I want to change. Corporations need this talent. The world needs this talent to drive innovation. But how do we reclaim that creative thinking? I love this quote. It says, creativity is something you practice. It's not just a talent you're born with. So what we're hoping to do with Innovateology is create a platform, a place for, or as I like to call it, a springboard to bounce ideas and get a second opinion, of sharing how to break free from traditional thinking, learning how to bring back and unleash your creative side, a forum for not just to allow for disruptive ideas, but how do you change that mindset to allow for those disruptive ideas, a place to gain clarity and focus in messy, unknown situations, and these can be called life situations, ways to gain confidence and tackle the fear of being judged, overcoming the fear of taking that first step towards your life goal, and being given many chances to change your life story. Let us give you that inspiration and motivation with this platform. So here's some of the questions that we're hoping to tackle in some of podcasts today and upcoming podcasts, is how do we tackle these limiting beliefs, such as interviewing while pregnant? Or how do you age up or down in an interview? How do we know to ask the right questions in that next interview so we don't end up with a bad boss? How do we take on all these ideas and know which one is the best one and has the highest chance for success? How do we validate this idea? How do we gather opinions and facts? And where do we even find this information? How do we set it up to succeed? Or how do we translate those failures and mistakes into successes? So framing a plan and knowing what you want to do before you accomplish that, or even simply finding out that purpose, that is the goal of Innovateology. So there's some questions that we're hoping to not only tackle in this podcast, but in future podcasts, but we also hope to kind of add some clarity to these problems that we solve throughout life. So hopefully that gives a little bit of background about what Innovateology is. I'd like to jump in and introduce Innovateology and some of the speakers that will be helping kind of clarify and add some commentary to the Innovateology concept. So let's start with some introductions, and I'll go first. My name is Mary. A little bit of background. I grew up in Seattle, learned to speak French when I actually moved to France, and just recently made a transition back to the States. When I'm not a working mom of two, I enjoy competitive sports, such as swimming, biking, and running. And part of my life themes has been around not just surviving, but thriving. And most of this comes from creative thinking and embracing innovation. Also on our podcast today, we have Linda. Linda, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. Hello, I'm Linda. I grew up in the greater Philadelphia area. And today my life includes a husband, three adult stepchildren, and a grandchild. They're Canadians living in beautiful Western Canada. But for most of my life, I had no pets, no husband, and no children. I had a career in marketing, working and traveling for large global corporations. I came to realize that decades had passed, but I had little awareness of the passage of that time. So about 5 years ago, I created a life plan, much like the business plans I had developed over the years. And since then, I found that living present and deliberately really brings a lot of joy and contentment. Melissa?
Hi, I'm Melissa, and I'm also from the Philadelphia area. I have a healthcare marketing background, which I love to research information and solve problems. I also enjoy oil painting outside, and I would raise my hand for art, definitely. Hiking, nature, philosophy, reading, and practicing good health. And I also believe that boundless energy comes from within yourself, and you can create it in a second if you want to.
So that brings us back to that basic question of how did this concept of innovatology come about? And how I try and answer innovatology is from the life experiences that I've gained. And one of it is over controlling your fears and learning to gain that confidence to master that fear of failure and understand that we are in control. And with one step of a at a time, we can exercise our mindset to solve these problems. We don't have to hide. We can actually go out there and raise our hand and be that artist or that painter. So it's turning that fear of being creative, of being not creative enough, into practicing every day to not just survive, but to thrive. So with this forum, I'm hoping that we can create that confidence, master those skills, and be that disruptive thinker to bring not only value to your life, your family, but also to your career and or a business that you're trying to start. So with Innovatology, I hope you can join us on this journey. So Linda, what's your concept of Innovatology?
Thanks, Mary. Well, like you and Melissa, my energy comes from creative problem solving. For me, joy is working collaboratively with smart, creative thinkers to solve problems. I think it's a real thrill to see how many minds from a variety of disciplines can come together and realize the formerly unimaginable. So I envision Innovatology as that place where intelligent creative thinkers and problem tacklers share their learnings, solutions, and insights and bring real value to those who listen. It would be fun to have Innovatology become a place where people regularly look for useful tools and resources to support their decision-making through life's events. I think Innovatology should become the place to help people to navigate life's white water smoothly and efficiently. Ideally, Innovatology becomes the forum where innovators choose to communicate their solutions. Melissa?
I think the definition of Innovatology for me is how to have new brilliant ideas about something that can be done. It's not conforming to the accepted ways of looking at your life's problems. If you always accept the norm, it can come at a cost. Maybe your problems don't go away, your passion or your talents are ignored, or maybe you lost some opportunities. So we all need to break free of traditional thinking of what solutions should look like. So it's changing your story within yourself and not looking at other people for the answers, looking for yourself. So I kind of see it as a three-point process. So one, what's the problem and what do you want at the end? Two, think out of the box for solutions. You might write down 20 to 50 ideas so you just can't think of any more. And then three is you have to have the confidence to select your own way and your own path.
Excellent, Mary. Summary. So let's go back to question number two, which is give a life example of Innovatology. So I'll go ahead and start. And this is a situation that has come up many times. And a coach told me one time before a race that there's never a perfect day to race. You just have to give it your all. And this is so true in anyday life. there are times when we're hit with a curveball and we just have to go through it. One situation is that I was in late term pregnancy. I was in late term stage of my pregnancy and I was needing to interview. And a couple of different areas in my head were going and saying, wait a second, everybody's going to notice that I'm pregnant. Everybody's going to see that I have basically a basketball stick in me and they're going to judge me. So, you know, it's called life, unfortunately. So I started looking online and searching for tips and tricks of, you know, what you could do when you are interviewing while pregnant. And I even asked a couple swimming friends, hey, what would you do if you were interviewing while pregnant? And I got many different points of view, both male and female, hiring managers, executives, HR, and everybody had a completely different opinion. But, you know, I knew that, hey, I have the skill set. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to focus on my skill set. And also they mentioned just know your rights. An employer can't ask you if you're interviewing. And if they judged me because I was pregnant, well, okay, maybe it wasn't a place that I wanted to work anyway. So, you know, from collecting all this information, I started to work on my mindset and saying, you know, it's not that scary to interview while you're pregnant. And if they're going to judge me, they're going to judge me. So some action items.
Well, Mary, this is Linda. How do you overcome your fears of judgment?
So I think one way is, okay, so let's dress the part. Let's start to work on that confidence from the outside in. So dressing the part. So for me, what I wanted to do is I wanted to find a very fashionable business wear. And being pregnant, unfortunately, as I'm learning or had learned, is that they, first of all, don't make a lot of maternity clothes for business, nor do they make it for competition swimming. A lot of people ask me where you can find a competition swimsuit while in late stage pregnancy. Unfortunately, they don't make that. Same with business suits. It's a little bit of a challenge. So I went on swap.com, which is a great website, and I'll put it in the show notes, and found a $15 business suit. And I figured, hey, why not just buy a couple of those? And when I came to the interview, I also parked in the far back of the parking lot. And that was my time where I could take a couple of deep breaths before going in, but also show I could do what they were asking me to do and also walk from the back of the parking lot with an extra 40 pounds and it would not slow me down. Then if they asked me to take the elevator, I would say, no, let's take the stairs. Now I realized that maybe I was, had a little different pregnancy than most others, but I still tried to act like nothing was going to slow me down. That if you were to ask me any question, anything, I'm not going to take the easy way out. I'm going to do it the hard way. And then I just focused on business. I had an interactive portfolio and an infographic resume, and all I did was just focus on what value I could bring to them. And any type of stereotype or typical pregnancy stereotype that kind of came out of it, and I got many of those, I would just focus on, you know, the effects of pregnancy in your performance. And maybe this is some tips and tricks there, is, you know, we have a lot more blood coming to your brain. Your body actually makes a lot more blood that I would say, hey, it's a performance enhancement. So instead of having placenta brain, I would call it, no, I have increased blood flow to my brain. So it's actually more performance than somebody that's sitting next to me. I can add a lot more value. And as a result of kind of just changing my mindset of, you know, what would maybe somebody see as a typical pregnant woman to, you know, let's turn pregnancy into a powerful movement and use all that extra blood that was flowing to my brain. As a result, I actually got 7 job offers. So I think it says a lot of how you can change the way you think and just changing that mindset of how those typical stereotypes you may have seen in movies, you may have seen others act while pregnant, is just changing that and saying, look, I can do this and there's never ever going to be a perfect race day. So that's just one example. So just to recap is just, hey, get over those fears and perceptions while interviewing while pregnant. Confidence is power. Focus on your strengths. Break through those stereotypes. And you can do this even while starting a family. My action items for you are just go to swap.com, find that great outfit. What's going to be your power best suit? And practice, you know, putting it on and looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, hey, I can do this. I can still fit into a business suit. I can do this. And focus on showing how you can bring that value, bring that business even while carrying an extra 40 pounds. So, Linda, I understand you've had some similar challenges.
Well,
looking at it in a more forward area of, you know, in the 40 and 50 year old age range. So why don't you go ahead and explain your example?
Sure. Thanks, Mary. Actually, I was going to take your topic around job search, but in a slightly different direction, as you said, and really talk about job search and age bias. Building on this theme around innovatology and how you see yourself, that comes into play when you may be somebody who began your career in the 1990s or the first decade of the new millennium. For folks who've done that, job search can really be frightening. These people are in their 40s and 50s, and they've often spent decades working in the same role, often for the same employer. For years, networking may have been simply lunch and the occasional happy hour with their immediate colleagues. I'm wondering if this sounds familiar for some of those who are listening. You may want to ask yourself, how deeply have you sunk into the comfort zone? The last time you searched for a job, if you've been one of these folks in their 40s and 50s, you probably mailed your resume to a person in an HR department or a person at a search firm. Now that you're searching in the digital age, suddenly that you had known to be that person who demonstrated competence and had been recognized for performance excellence and had steadily advanced professionally, now you seem like a faltering newbie attempting to get a solid footing and to navigate a new and bumpy job search environment. It's so easy to say your age is the big hurdle, but don't. Here are some tips and perhaps insights for listeners. Of course, there are biases of all kinds in life, and job search is no exception. Age can be as much of an obstacle for younger job seekers as older job seekers. The key really is to tease out what you really mean when you say age is a barrier.
Hey, and Linda, what are the factors for age bias?
Well, Melissa, thanks. There's some considerations for folks. One is that you think about the supply and demand for your skill sets within your target job markets. Supply and demand certainly has an impact on salary range, and it could have shifted since your last active job search. I also recommend that people try not to get title rigid. That's to say that often people who have progressed in their career or seasoned and well acknowledged for their expertise may have a certain expectation of a title when they go to a next job, or could be concerned that not having a title that they feel is appropriate could be an inhibitor for future job searching. However, so much of that around title has changed that I'd urge you not to be too fixed on what title expectations you have. Another factor really is to consider your field of expertise and how it may have changed since your last job search. Even though you may have worked in the field for decades, evolving technology and globalization radically change talent needs for many corporations and even mid-sized companies. In some classic professional roles, there's many of them which have been significantly redefined and even eliminated. You should also consider how your skill sets may transfer to other in-demand jobs if your particular role is largely no longer in existence, which is the case for many professional jobs. It's useful to do an evaluation of your skill sets and really understand how you might be able to transfer them to other positions. I would say, in terms of some tips for listeners, you may want to ask yourself if you have an age bias. How willing are you to work for folks that are much younger or much older? Can you imagine reporting to someone who's much younger or much older? I'd also encourage you to ask if you have age freeze. In other words, have you become frozen in time? How recently have you updated your professional clothes? We do change over time, for better or worse, so the colors and clothing styles which were once complementary might not be so complementary today. For instance, eyeglass frames, makeup, hairstyles, clothes, shoes, watches, All of those can date us. The key is not to run out and get tattoos or blacken your hair or throw away your pantyhose. It's really much more simple. It's about allowing your best self to shine. You don't need to know the latest apps necessarily, but it's important to be current in your field and be diligent about how you may continue to learn and redefine your skill sets. So as action steps for listeners, I suggest ask some trusted friends and colleagues to share what they view as your strongest and weakest attributes. Also, think about whom do you admire generally and in your field of expertise, and what are the top reasons for your admiration? And last but not least, grow and expand your professional network by engaging regularly with peers, as well as leaders in your field, and folks who may be a generation above and below your age group. You will become increasingly facile and understand the expectations and even changes that are on the horizon in your professional network. So that sums up my example, Mary. Back to you.
So, Melissa, I understand that you have another waking at your course rethink. Can you share a little bit about that experience?
Yes. Springing off of Linda's topic, it's how do you find your talents to excel in your career or in your life path? Friends and family have said to me over the years, you know, I don't have any talent. And, you know, I say, I don't believe that at all. I know you have talent. I believe that people think talent is like the ability to sing or as to draw. But they forget that talent is can be even more subjective, like your emotional personality. An example is, you know, I have a friend who's so talented at greeting people. I mean, that's so simple. But when she sees you, it's like the whole world exploded. She's giddy. She makes you feel special. You know, I've never really met anybody who's like that. And, you know, that's a perfect talent that possibly could go into sales. And maybe along the way, as Linda talked about, you might find yourself in a false career path, meaning that this isn't what you were meant to do. You just went after what you others thought when you grew up, you know, maybe your parents you thought was really acceptable, or maybe, you know, you were seeking money or fame. So it's good to resist to being like others for fitness, and you need to look inward and ask yourself, do a self-examination. So this is, how do we rethink our own talent? First, I think, like I said, I think we have to redefine the word talent. You know, it's not drawing or singing. Other words might be, it's a calling, an inner voice, a uniqueness, an inclination, an expertise, an inspiration, or maybe it's your philosophy towards life. So what are some ideas that you can go back and say and self-examine yourself and say, what are my talents? How do I identify them? One way is to go back to your childhood. Think back to what you liked as a child. What did you play with? What stories did you tell yourself and play? You know, I have this big old box of childhood stuff that I got out and looked at. Another idea is looking around the house. When you go look at your books, what are the subjects? Look at your photos, your papers, your articles, the blogs, the movies you watch. You know, what's in your closet that's unfinished can give you an idea. What do you remember, what compliments you received in life? You know, and you can ask people who are close to you now, you know, what do they think in this using of this broader term of talent? Another thing, that this idea of flow, and what are you doing that you totally lose track of time? There's something in that that is a talent for you. You can also examine your aptitudes or your natural abilities, your personality, your philosophy. Are you good at organizing groups, giving empathy, matching up people, reading people's emotions, organizing things? Are you always striving for tranquility? Is that your philosophy, doing the right thing? Also, there's some tests, and there's our three free ones that I think that on the internet that I would suggest. One is the Myers-Briggs Personality Type Inventory, and that you just put in Myers-Briggs personality and the first in Google, and the first four are free, and that's some insight. There's another one called Strong Interest Inventory Test, and again, just Google that, Strong Interest Inventory Test, and that's more like farming, or, you know, are you good at sales, that kind of thing. And then the third one is, you know, you can just Google a list of action verbs for resumes. And you get some ideas from that, like, you know, I like to analyze things. I like to research. So that's, you know, the action verbs that I would find. So those are just some ideas on how to find your talents. But remember, only you can identify your own talent.
Melissa, now that you've identified your talent, what do you do next?
I think, you know, once you've identified them and, you know, try to connect them, you need to put some different big picture strategies to get together. Like maybe you can combine some of your talent or look at areas where there's not a lot of competition in your talent. Or one way is to cut your expertise down to a very small niche. Say you're great at putting entrepreneurs together. Well, you don't just put, maybe, you know, you have a service to sell them or something, but you just don't put groups of entrepreneurs. You put a group together that's over 60 in a certain field and, you know, are in this part of the country. So you're niching yourself, which can help. So you just need to adapt these different, think of different strategies for your new career path. So just to recap, the problem is that you may not like your career, your life path, and you don't know what your talents are to explore further. So the innovate solution is to break free of traditional thinking on what you should do and relook at your talents and change your life story by looking within. No one outside can tell you the answer. So the action item is identify your own talents with the list that we discussed, take some tests on the internet, and then start to write your written strategic plan to find a new career path. And hopefully doing this, you'll know yourself better and on your way to a new path.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening to the Innovateology Podcast. We hope we have generated some disruptive ideas and helped unleash that creative side. Please help us keep innovating and leave us a comment or a review on our website. Till next time, don't stop innovating.